We've been visiting for the last few weeks just on various things as far as faith is concerned and things like this. And so this came up a few weeks ago in some reading that I was doing, some studying that I was doing, some reasons why our prayers are not answered. There's we begin to talk about faith, and we get these ideals of faith, and we begin to grasp concepts, and we begin to wonder, then we begin to pray, we wonder, why is it our prayers aren't necessarily answered? Why are they not necessarily, why isn't it done? Or we see that something that is, we just don't believe is being answered correctly. And so there's a few reasons why that happens. I'm going to give them to you this morning. I'm going to give you about three or four this morning. I got an opportunity to do this week with a young man. He came and talked to me, and I got to do this for about 30, 40 minutes with him. And so it is enjoyable to do this. So here's reasons our prayers aren't answered. Reasons our prayers aren't answered. I think it's important that we get these because there are things that we are doing that's going on in our lives, things going on around us that we want to see God move in. There's reasons why that these won't happen. Now, the thing about it is you see, we aren't at liberty just to pray randomly. We're not at liberty to do that. The Scripture is clear. We understand this. We understand the Bible. It's clear that we aren't at liberty just to pray willy-nilly. We've got to kind of if in fact God would have done that, and I've said this, the reason why we have the Bible is because it limits God, because He is limitless. And so if God would have allowed us just to pray however we wanted to, He would eventually be giving up His glory. Somebody would begin, they would want God's position, they would want God's spot. That's what Satan did. And so there is laws in prayer. There is ways that we pray. We've talked about, I've spent a few weeks talking to you about how that we pray and the manner in which we pray, that we pray in Jesus' name and all these things. But there's still things that we just can't pray just whatever comes to our mind. 1 John says it this way. 1 John 5 and verse 14, it says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." You see, we've used this over and over and over. We've used this text that if we're asking according to His will, He hears us. So we've got to know what it is that is God's will. Look at this story here in Luke 9, verse 54. Let me show you where this happens, where people believe that they can just pray whatever it is that they would like to pray, and that God helps them to understand this. In Luke 9, verse 54, it says, "When His disciples, James and John, saw this." Now, what was happening here is they wanted to go into Samaria, but the people wouldn't receive them. They said, "Nope, we don't want you here in Samaria. Stay out." So James and John rightfully got mad, and they said to the Lord, "Wilt thou that we should command fire to come down from heaven and consume these people?" So they wanted to pray that God would send fire down and consume Samaria because they wouldn't accept them. They wouldn't let them come. They wouldn't let them come into town. So they wanted to pray. And Jesus said, He said, "No." He said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are." He rebuked them for doing this. He said, there are manners and laws in which we have to use and accommodate to, and one of which is being God's will. So we've got to know that we're praying according to God's will, and we understand that His will is His word. That's how we know God's will. That's how we know anything about God is through His word. John says, and Jonah did it this way. Look at this prayer. And Jonah said it in John 4 and verse 3, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech you, my life." Kill me. He's praying, "God, kill me." He said, "God, finish it." He said, "I'm done with it." So what if God answered that prayer? What if God answered prayers like that? Now think about it. What if God answered prayers like that? What if He answered prayers like, "If my neighbor makes me mad, God, just burn his house down"? We could pray them. We could maybe even believe God could do it. We could maybe even go into the Scriptures and find some concept that would go, and we say, "Well, God, you made some fire happen here. Let's do it here. Burn my neighbor's house down." Or maybe you got so depressed, or you got so down, or you were struggling so hard that you finally said, "God, I'll tell you what, I just want you to kill me and take me. Just do it." And you see, what God's showing us is it doesn't matter. We've got to pray according to His will. And that's not God's will. The Bible says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. He's conscious about that. It's not something that just happens and He doesn't notice or recognize. That He's as precious in the sight of the Lord as the death of His saints. So we've got to understand that there's things that we can and we can't pray. Ecclesiastes says it this way. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2, it says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. He said, be very, very careful what it is that you say. We know in the book of Daniel, Daniel 9 and verse 3, he prayed the right way. First Daniel, when he sought the scripture, he sought out the answer. He sought out the mind of God. He went there and he spent the time to figure out exactly what it was that God's plan was and what it was that he was dealing with or what it was that he was going through. And he figured out exactly what it was that was God's will and God's plan. And then he went to God with boldness and he said, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He went and figured out what it was that's God's will and God's plan. What is it that's God's will and God's plan? What is it? And so he went and found it, and then he had the confidence to come. The text that we started with says, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, Daniel went and figured out what it is that's God's will. Here's what's sad too many times is we know too much about what we want and too little about what he wants. Now think about it. We know too many times, we know far too much about what we want and far too little about what God wants. So it's important that we figure out what God wants, and then we can begin to line our wants up with that. So one of the reasons why our prayers are not answered is we're just simply not asking according to the will of God or the plan of God in our lives. Here's the second reason. Our prayers can be aborted because we're just praying prayers to fulfill our lusts, the Bible says, or dreams or illusions. We run on this all the time. We got a little situation that me and Jeanette are dealing with now. And we've got a person that they have this illusion that God has said they're going, and he may do this, don't get me wrong, but we're living in the meantime here. And so they had this illusion that God is going to do this. There was a church not far from here several years ago that somebody in the church, God spoke to them, and they said that if we would build this helicopter pad out here, that people would start flying in here so that we could pray for them and they'd be healed. So they went out there, and they, beside their little church out in the country, they built them a little place out there to land helicopters. None came. They went out there, they prayed, they stood around that thing, and they prayed. None came. So the question then comes up, well, why in the world would God say that? The answer is he didn't. We can't pray according to what we would like to see. You see, James says, he says in James 4 and verse 3, he says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. You see, God will answer no prayer that adds honor or assists in our temptations. He'll answer no prayer that does that. When we begin to talk about that, we understand that he said that there's that he said if you ask amiss, he said that you might consume it. That he'll do nothing that doesn't bring glory to himself. He won't do things for us that'll glorify us. And when we begin to do this, and we begin to understand that they're one of the reasons why that God's not answering our prayers. We've got to know exactly what we want it for. And like I said, we know sometimes more about what we want than what it is that God wants. Psalm says it this way, 66 and verse 18. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So then if these prayers are designed to fulfill my lust or my dreams or my illusions, then I've got to understand that if I regard this in my heart, which when this word says regard, that means I know it's there. I regard that you're in this building. I regard that Rudy's in the building. I regard that we're in the building. So if I regard it, if I know that it's there, and he said, I don't deal with it, we've got to deal with it because God won't hear us. The test of knowing whether or not, we need a test so that we can know whether or not our request is based in lust. We need a test. Well, the test is how we handle delay or denial. How we handle delay or denial. You see, lust has to be fulfilled quickly. Lust has to be fulfilled immediately. It has to be taken care of then, right then. And if the prayer that we're praying, if we become very frustrated with God, we begin to whine and complain about the fact that God hasn't moved or he hasn't answered the prayer in the time frame that I gave him to answer it in, then we begin to understand that there's a symptom here. There's an underlying cause, and that cause is lust, that we're asking for the wrong reasons. Now, I may not be making the list of the reason, the wrong reasons we're asking, but it is a evident or a clue to us that we're asking in the wrong way or for the wrong reasons. So there's another reason that we understand that. He said our prayers are aborted because we want to fulfill our inner lust, dreams, or illusions. You see, just because you can pray hard enough does not mean God will do anything that you ask. Just because we can pray long enough, just because we can stay there even longer. Here's what Isaiah says, 58 verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou hast not seen us. They're saying, look here what we've already done. We fasted. We did it. We did all the things that we're supposed to do, and you're not answering. You're not doing your part. And we have afflicted our souls, he says, and now have taken no knowledge of it. So what they're saying is God, you're not moving. You're not operating inside the time frame that we would like to see you operate in. You're not moving inside this. And the lustful heart cannot see God. They can't see his glory. They can't see God's glory in delays. You see, yet God did not. You see, you and I, would we understand that God, as he begins to move in our behalf, we don't have a timetable or a time frame. We've got to be patient to what God is doing or what God wants to do in our lives. You see, God, let me get this very clear. God, in his justice, he is obligated to delay as long as it takes to get selfishness out of our prayers. He is obligated to do that. He is obligated to delay as long as it takes to get these selfish motives out of our prayer. God's not our rich relative, okay? This is God that we're talking to, and God moves according to his will, his grace, his timing. So we've got to know what it is that we're asking, because we've got to understand that we can abort this. We can abort this by simply asking for the wrong reasons. Here's the next thing. Well, another reason our prayers aren't answered a lot of times is this was the initial thought that came to me in finding this, is that sometimes can abort our prayers if we show no diligence in assisting God in the answer. And they say, well, hold on, if I'm praying to God, what am I supposed to do? What do I have to do with it? And this is why I said we feel sometimes that God is a rich relative who will support us and give us all we beg for. And so we'll lift our hands in prayer and then put our hands in our pockets. We expect our prayers to get God to work for us while we sit idly by and just think to ourselves, he has all the power, I have none. Let's let him do it. Well, that sounds like good doctrine, but the reality of it is God teaches us that in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10, you've heard this before, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any won't work, they shouldn't eat. So God will never condone this kind of action. There's always something that we can get involved in and we can do. Let me show you an example of this. In Joshua 7 verse 10, there's a story here that's interesting. And it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Now he wasn't sleeping, he was praying. And it says, and Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel cannot stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourself against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of you, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemy until you take away the accursed thing from among you. You see, God has a right to arouse us from our knees and say, you can't just sit here and wait. There's something going on that you need to do. There's something going on that you need. There's a part of this that you need to get involved in. That there's something that you and I need to do. And he told Joshua, he said, I appreciate you praying, I give. He said, it's time to get up and go and take action. He said, you got to tell the people to sanctify themselves. Sometimes there are things that we must do in order to assist God in the answering of our prayers. And that we've got to go there and we've got to, you know, we have a story, a gruesome story in the Bible of Joshua had came along and David had come along. And Saul had wronged the Gideonites. And so it came time for there was a famine coming. God let him know. He said, the reason it is because what Saul did to the Gideonites. He said, you're going to have to make it right with the Gideonites. So they're praying. God, what is it we got to do? We got to see this famine living. He said, the only way the famine's going to live, if you make it right with the Gideonites. So they went and asked the Gideonites. They said, what is it that you would have us to do so that we can right this wrong? Well, you would like to hope that things would go differently when you approach someone with this idea that you want to right a wrong. But they said, here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do to make it right with you. We want 7 living descendants, male descendants, so we can hang them in public. David struggled with the idea and finally had to find 7 young men of Saul's descendants so they could be hung in the square. 2 of them, their mothers spent days down there keeping the birds and the critters off of them so they wouldn't eat them. They hung them there until they rotted. You say, man, this is a gruesome story. But the reality of it was, is God said, David, there's something you must do. Sometimes it's just as easy as a heart change. Sometimes it's just as easy as us maybe just making a change, thinking about something a little bit different. Maybe it's a little bit of a heart change. But sometimes it's difficult, like this decision was, that, you know, I've got to pick 7 guys, and they're going to go out there and they're going to kill them. I know these stories in the Old Testament are gruesome. They're all for our example, Paul said. But he said, sometimes these decisions are very difficult. And when they did that, the famine lifted, things went back to normal, and they began to go down the road. But the reality was, it was something that they had to do in the meantime, that they simply can't just sit by and assume that God's going to do something. Some of the things that are going on with us, they need us to spend some time. And these lusts that are going on, when we're going to try to get these things right in our mind, the Bible said you've got to run from them. You've got to flee them. So there's some action involved in this. So there's some things that we need to get involved in the answering of our prayers. And there's things that sometimes your decision will be simple. Sometimes they'll be difficult. And if you've been living for God any length of time at all, you say, I've already dealt with this. I've already prayed and God said, this is what you need to do this. You need to work on, you need to add this. You need to take this away. There's things that need to be done in your life. And so as we do this, we prayed sometimes that God would help us to get over some of the hurts and the things that are in our lives. And God would tell us that we need to go apologize to a person, or we need to go back there and we need to ask their forgiveness for something that we've done. And so as a result of that, there's things that we must get involved in. We must be willing to do that. Here's the last one. Our prayers are abortive when we ourselves attempt to prescribe how God should answer. Now, I know none of us do that, but there are people that do. That they tell God, here's exactly how I want you to do it. Here's exactly how I want you to lay it out. I have people that work for us. Me and Jeanette, do we have people that work for us? And there's a difference in, there's 2 groups of people. There's a group of people that I trust, and there's a group of people that I don't trust. The people that I don't trust, I lay out everything that I want them to do and how I want them to do it. If I trust them, I just give them the job and tell them, let me know when you're finished. Now think about it, you're the same way. If you trust them, if you trust what it is that they're doing, then you just say, all right, I just need this fixed. I need my car fixed. I need my house fixed. Whatever the case is, you just give them the job and then you walk away and believe that they'll do it. And when it's finished, you take care of what it is that they've done. You pay the bill. Whatever the case is, you trust them. Well, it really comes down to a trust problem when we're not willing to allow God to do it God's way. When we want to try to lay it out and prescribe it, to hear God is exactly what I would like to do. What you're saying is, God, I don't trust that you'll do it the way that I would like to see it done, or you won't do it the best way. And so what God's doing is he's helping us to understand that if you'll trust me, then if you'll let me do it my way is always the best way. How many would agree with that? I believe we could all agree that God's way is always the best way. In the book of 2 Samuel, here's a story, and David said this. He said, although my house be not so with God, he's praying, and he said, even though things aren't exactly squared away, even though things aren't exactly like they should be, he said, he hath made an everlasting covenant with me, and he has ordered all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation, all my desire, although he make it not to grow. He said, here's the thing, God. He said, I know things aren't exactly like they should be, and I think some of us could probably identify with this. God, things aren't exactly like they should be. They're not exactly where they need to be. Things aren't exactly how they could be, but God, you and I have a covenant together, and I trust that you'll make these things work out in my life. I trust, God, that you will allow this to work in such a way, God, that it'll be to my best, for my best. That those who presume to that who prescribe to God how they answer, they're limiting God. Now, don't you think about that? Whenever we take the time to prescribe to God how it is that we want God to do it, what you're doing is limiting Him on what He can do. Now, Ephesians says in 3 and verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. How many of you understand that what that says right there is God has ways that we don't even understand. We can't even get there. That these are so much farther above anything that we could ask, so much farther above anything that we could think. So he says, what you're doing when you tell God exactly how you want it done, you're limiting him to our limited understanding of how things work. We're limiting him to where, God, you've got to do it this way, inside this prescribed way. You've got to do it like this. What you're doing is you're effectively limiting God and the way that he can answer our prayers. So our prayers sometimes aren't answered because we've laid them out in such a way for God that God is so limited that he's just not willing to operate inside your limits or my limits. And so as a result of that, we've got to understand that he can do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. He can go farther above anything that you could ask or even think. You couldn't come up with it in your prayer time. You couldn't come up with what it is that God would like to do in your life and mine. We can't come up with it. So this is another reason why our prayers aren't answered, because we're prescribing to God how it is that we want God to do it. That we lay it out for God and say, here, if you'll just work along this pattern, man, you'll be all right. Otherwise, we get frustrated with God. And so what we're doing is we're learning how to not, we don't prescribe it to God. God knows more than us. God knows better than us. He has ways that we haven't even considered. He's done things in ways that we never imagined he could. So we learn to not prescribe to God what it is that God, this is what I want you to do, God. And then we begin to tell God, here's how it has to happen. So when we do that, then we've limited him to our way of thinking. I don't know about you, but I figured out a long time ago, I don't want God thinking like me. I'm trying to think like God, not vice versa. They say amen.